Speaking on this program is Franklin Kemp.
Matthew 5:13-16. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its savor, what good is it? It's thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. We're to be as a city that's set on a hill whose light cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and be brought to glorify your Father which is in heaven." I've been talking about this now for some time, but I want to talk about it today and tonight. And the book of Titus will be the basis of our study this morning and tonight. You notice Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." That very phrase is found in the book of Titus. In fact, the book of Titus is a good book to look at to find the solution to the problem about works that do not please God and works that do please God. The book of Titus shows the relationship between doctrine and lie. Paul, in writing to Titus, talks about sound doctrine, the faithful word, sound speech. And so there's the idea, the importance of doctrine. But he also talks about good works. For example, in Titus 1:16, he said, "They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." I know there are two kind of works that's mentioned in that passage. There are works that are abominable, but there are good works. And Paul, in writing to Titus, emphasizes these. Look at it in verse 7 of chapter 2. "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness." And so there's doctrine and works. Verse 10. "Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of our God, our Savior, in all things." So there are works that adorn the doctrine of God. Verse 14 of chapter 2. "Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity, purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." And then Titus 3 and 1. "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready unto every good work." And then in verse 5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done." So here are some works now that are eliminated. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing and regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." But in that same chapter, twice, look at it in verse 8. "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works." And then in verse 14, "And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful." And so you can see then in this short epistle, three chapters, there are works that are to be avoided. There are works that are described as good works. Now, what makes the difference? I think in view of the fact that he's talking about religious people in verse 16. For example, he talks about verse 10, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake." And so the works that are to be avoided are religious works of a certain type. I think that's clear. And that's what he's said in chapter 3 and in verse 6. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done." In view of the fact that this was written at the time, there was the Jewish concept of merit in their works. Meritorious work. Earning reward with God, placing God in debt to them. I think that's the kind of works that he's talking about in verse 16. They profess that they know God, that is, they claim to believe in God and serve God, but in works they deny Him. And therefore, there are works that deny God. Now, any work that would be a work of merit would be a work that denied God. Because I'd say, I don't need God. I can get along without God. I can work so as to place God in debt to me. That's a denial of the very nature of God. And that's the kind of work that Paul was speaking of in Ephesians 2. By grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works. These are the kind of works then that God rejects, that denies God. They are an abomination unto God. When the Pharisee in Luke 18 stood and said, I thank thee, O Lord, that I'm not like other men. That prayer was an abomination unto God. In Matthew 6, Jesus said that they do their alms before men to be seen of men. There was religious works that was an abomination to God. He said they go out on the street corners and they pray to be seen of men. That was works that was an abomination to God. And so those are the kind of works he's talking about. In verse 6, when he said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy has he saved us. Now the works that he mentioned in the first part of that passage are the kind that he's talking about in verse 16 of chapter 1. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. The good works are the kind that Jesus was talking about in Matthew 5:16. When he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and be brought to glorify your Father which art in heaven. Now let me take just a little bit of time to talk about verse 6 of chapter 3 and see if I can clear up the problem of how thou works that do not save and how thou works that do save. If you'll notice, he said in verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done. There are works of righteousness conceived in man's own mind, wherein, as I said, he has the idea that there's merit in it that God rejects. But there are works of righteousness that are acceptable. For example, when Peter went out into the household of Cornelius, he said, after there was a miraculous revelation and God let a sheet down out of heaven, and said, what I've called thou common and common, or do not call it common or unclean, what I've cleansed, call thou not common or unclean. Peter said, I learned a lesson. God is no respecter of person. Now mark it. God is no respecter of person. But in every nation where there are people that fear God and work righteousness, they are accepted. Peter said there are works of righteousness that are accepted. What kind of works of righteousness are accepted? Now there's where the whole thing turned. Let me see if I can illustrate it to you now. People in the denomination world have the idea that any action on the part of man is a meritorious work. And there's not anything that a man can do but what's a work of righteousness that is denied in Titus 3 and 5. But now look at it. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy has He saved us. Now how? By the washing of regeneration. Now look at it. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's by His mercy. How does His mercy save? By, the American Standard Version, I believe, says, through the washing of regeneration. What is the washing of regeneration? That's simply obedience to the gospel of Christ And the reference there is to baptism specifically. And so Titus 3:5 said, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. It is by the washing of regeneration. Now what does that say? That's saying that baptism and the washing of regeneration is not a work of righteousness. That is, not of the kind that he's talking about in the first part of the passage. He takes it out of that category and puts it in another category. Let me show you again. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 9, Paul said, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Now mark it. Not according to our works. Now what does he mean by that? Well, specifically, he's talking about the works of the Jewish system, which if they had saved man, would have been meritorious works. And so Paul said, he was saved according to the purpose of God and not according to his own works. Well, does that exclude obedience to the gospel? Listen to Paul's own account of his conversion. Whenever Ananias came to him in Acts 22, he said, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sin. Do what? Do what Paul said to Titus. With your faith and your penitence and having acknowledged Christ as the Son of God, now then, go through that washing of regeneration. Be baptized in order that your sin might be washed away. Now, 2 Timothy 1:9, Paul said, it's not according to our own works. But the very man that said that was baptized that his sin might be washed away. Therefore, Paul's baptism in Acts 22 is not the kind of works he's talking about in 2 Timothy 1:9. They are different kind of works. Baptism of Paul that he said he is baptized in order that his sin might be washed away, as Ananias told him. He understood that. The merit of that washing was the blood of Christ. That's where the merit was. The condition that he might be cleansed through the merit of Christ's blood was that he be baptized. And so there's a difference. But now, how do you distinguish between these? Listen to Romans chapter 4 and verse 16. Paul said, it is by grace, or rather it is by faith, that it might be by grace. Now here is the reason that thou works that are non-meritorious. Here's the reason thou works that harmonize with grace. It is by faith that it might be by grace. Faith and grace harmonize. Faith makes it possible for grace to work. But when and how does faith make it possible for grace to work? Is it just the minute somebody said, I believe and receive you into my heart? No. That's not when. For if you look at Acts chapter 2, we read that they were pricked in their hearts and cried out and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? These people were already believers. Has grace worked to save them? No. Why? There's faith, yes. What's wrong with it? It's not saving faith. When does faith become saving faith? Whenever faith becomes saving faith, that's when grace saves. Not before then. Now, when did their faith become saving faith? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. They that gladly received His word were baptized. All right? When did grace save them that day? When they were baptized. Was their baptism a meritorious work? No. Their baptism was a work of faith. And being a work of faith, and faith and grace harmonized, therefore baptism was not a meritorious work. And so every action that I engage in, that's an action of faith, where faith expresses itself in doing what God says, is a non-meritorious work. That's exactly what Romans 4:16 says. It is by faith. Why is it by faith? That it might be by grace. Why is it that faith makes it possible for it to be by grace? The answer is, faith is composed of two elements. Trust, co-joined with obedience. When is trust trust? Trust is trust whenever man does what God says and expresses that trust in his action. That's when trust is trust. And until that action is expressed, there is no trust. That's the reason that James said, show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. Now look at the word show. What does the word show mean? Let it become visible. And therefore, saving faith has to become visible. It has to be clothed. When does it become visible? When the trust is expressed in the action commanded and demanded by God. What happens then? Grace then works to save. Grace is appropriated. All right? When does one's faith then, and how is one's faith expressed to bring about forgiveness of sins? It's expressed in turning from sin, confessing his faith in Christ as the Son of God, and being baptized. When a man is baptized, that's salvation by faith. And that's what the Bible's talking about. So when Paul said, not according to works, but according to His eternal purpose, He saved us. According to His mercy. Mercy is another word for the other side of grace. How did God do it? He did it according to His grace. Or rather, according to His mercy. But when did God do it? When Paul's faith expressed itself, when Ananias came to him, and is baptized that his sins might be washed away. That's when Paul's faith became visible. That's when Paul showed his trust in God. And that's when his sins were forgiven. But he said himself, it's not according to our works. Paul, what do you mean it's not according to your works? Wasn't you baptized in order that your sin might be washed? Yeah. But that's not the kind of works I'm talking about. That was a work of faith. And works of faith harmonize with grace. And since works of faith harmonize with grace, and baptism is an expression of faith, therefore baptism harmonized with grace. There's not any problem. I think it's tragic that the religious world is dying without God and without hope. Because men have deceived them over what the Bible teaches about works. And they think if you do anything that destroys grace, denies grace, when indeed the Bible makes a difference. Now, isn't it strange that in the book of Titus talks about two kind of works. He talks about the kind that won't save you, and the kind that God accepts. Why would God write a letter through the Apostle Paul telling him to tell people to engage in good works if those good works deny grace? Now let me show you something. The just shall live by faith. Does that mean that faith operates only when I become a Christian? If I had the blackboard up here, I'd just draw a line right down the middle of it. And on one side, I'd put faith in order to become a Christian. Over on the other side, I'd put faith in living the Christian life. Now, question. If obedience destroys grace in becoming a Christian, if works of faith, all kind of works, destroy faith before or in one becoming a Christian and denies grace, would somebody explain to me how that works after one becomes a Christian also would not destroy grace? And so that means that once you become a child of God, you can't do anything then. If you do, you'll be denying grace. And so what they've ended up with is making it impossible for anybody to engage in any kind of works. If they do, then you've got meritorious works, and that won't—that's not in keeping with the Bible. It seems to me that people ought to be able to see and understand this and make this distinction. Now, having said that, tonight I want to talk about the works that he tells us to engage in, and show us that it's in this way that we are to be a light to the world, and that we are to glorify God. And that's what the book of Titus is all about, is telling us when and where and how we are to engage in good works, that we may adorn the doctrine of God. On the other side, if we don't, that the name of God is blasphemed. But we'll leave that for our study tonight. I trust this will help all of us understand why that there are works that do not save, and why there are works that do save, and the distinction between the two. There's no way that we can merit or earn salvation. God sent His Son, as this teaches. Let Him die for us, that it would lead us to deny all ungodliness and live soberly and righteous in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you not this morning, in a sense of unworthiness and with a deep sense of need, realize that you cannot earn your salvation? Motivated by the love of God and the mercy of God, let your faith express itself in turning from sin, confessing your faith in Christ as the Son of God, and like Paul, be baptized, that you might be saved by the grace of God. The invitation